what the Lord's having me share tonight. He put on my heart month and a half ago, and has been relentless, which is good because it's more obvious for me, less questioning going on. Is that really what I'm supposed to do? How about this over here? You know, I'm not chasing squirrels and no shiny things distracting me. And part of it, the men's meeting last month got a preview because I had to get it out. I couldn't hold it any longer. So they got a condensed preview. And it just started. I was on the road. You know, I'm listening to my playlist or I'm listening to podcasts for work and just something to do. And one little statement stood out that just grabbed me and held on. And I'll share it quick, but then we'll come back to it. If I can find it, maybe I can't find it. Well, I can't find the actual verse. It's in the Psalms. It's talking about that Moses knew God's ways, Israel knew their acts. And that just kept churning and churning and churning. And I started asking, so what's the difference? Right? What's the difference? And he started laying it out for me and started putting pieces together. So that's what I'm sharing tonight. So the one of the first verses I want to, two verses I want to share, just something that was in the past and now is in the future. Now, so we'll start off in Exodus 19, verse 6. And unto me you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That's something that at that time in Exodus was yet future. That we would be priests unto him, right? Then we get to Peter 2, verse 9. And there Peter writes, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We shall be, and now we are, priesthoods towards him. We've been blessed at this church. We can go back all the way from the beginning with worship teams, worship leaders that had a true heart, a true understanding of worship. It just amazes me, the Lord that brings up worship leaders and the not only their heart, but their skill and their talent. And, you know, that's a very, we're lucky. I've been places. We're lucky. And it's a blessing. And, you know, something, it isn't, even though they have been talented and gifted by God for that purpose, the gifting and the talent is lower on his ranking than the condition of our heart, right? I have been, from time to time, asked, maybe you should stand a little farther away if you're going to sing that loud, you know. But it's the heart condition, right? It doesn't matter if I sound like a bag of cats getting shooken up, right? Or if you've gone to school and you've been picked by the very best and begged all over the place because of the gifts and talents you have. It's the heart condition he's looking for. And another thing, when we are blessed with a worship team and an atmosphere in this house of worship, we need to make sure we don't take it for granted, right? We need to appreciate it. We need to fully immerse ourselves when those opportunities come up. I'm not saying it happens here, but we need to be cautious. Oh, I will come when so-and-so is leading worship, or when that guy plays bass is my favorite, or I really love it when so-and-so. We're focusing on the wrong part. It's almost like what's happened in the world and false religions. One of the biggest reasons for false religions is they've stopped worshiping the creator, they're worshiping the creation, right? We need to just be thankful, and then we've been blessed with worship teams, worship leaders. Their responsibility isn't performing. They're not to make us happy. They're here, whether it's one guy singing on a guitar or keys or the whole group of them, their purpose is the audience of one. And we have the blessing when they go and make an open heaven to join them and follow them up in worship. We need to be willing and to continue to learn, to be teachable, because we need to be reformed. We need to see this as a walking out, right? Sometimes you may hear the phrase, there's three salvations. I was saved, I'm being saved, I will be saved. The walking out, the regeneration, that's the I'm being, right? So if I'm being regenerated, remade, I need to be teachable, I need to be open to hearing what Father's heart is as they learn, grow, and mature. You know, so we come together, whether we're worshiping on our own or we're coming together and have the privilege of worshiping corporately, the thing that the goal is His presence, right? In His glory, because we cannot remain unchanged, just being there. When His presence falls, as we're praising and worshiping and lifting our hearts to Him, His presence falls. We cannot remain, unless we take a very deliberate, I ain't putting up with this, attitude, we cannot remain unchanged, right? During worship, we should expect healing. We should expect deliverance, right? We should expect growth, maturity, restoration. We should expect that that pleasing thing is going to stir the Holy Spirit in us, and He's going to share His heart for individuals, for the body, for the region, through prophecy. In Exodus 33... 18, that's where, Moses is going to the Lord and he asks to see His glory. And the Lord says, you can't handle my glory, but I'll put you in the crack of the rock safety and I'll cover you. And as I go by, I'll let you see my goodness. And that much of His presence alone not only changed him inside, physically changed him, that he had to wear a veil because everyone else was freaked out about the experience. And if we look back, when he first goes up, everyone was invited. He wanted the nation to come up, but they were afraid of the thunder and lightning. Moses, you go. You represent us. Not it. Right? That was their choice. That was not Father's heart. Psalms 27:8. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said, "For your face, Lord, I will seek." Psalm 17:15. "As for me, I will seek your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake in your likeness." We're being transformed to his likeness. How were we created? Back in Genesis, in his likeness as his image. This is restoration. John 4, starting in verse 21, where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. They're having this discussion, and he shares how we're to worship. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe in me. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is for the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." He's seeking the worshipers. He wants the people. He wants our hearts to worship him in spirit and truth. He's not looking for an attaboy from me, right? But he wants me to have a heart of worship, to worship him rightly. He's seeking us as the worshipers. The other verse that I has disappeared. But it's the story of the woman that came and anointed him with the alabaster box. Right? That was an ultimate form of worship. It cost her something. And it reminds me when David was buying the piece of land to build the altar to remove the curse. And, "Oh, you're king, I'll give it to you." No. It needed to cost him something. If it doesn't cost us something, sometimes we can be too careless or too carefree. It needs to mean something. It needs to cost something. We have to have an investment in it. It cost her something. And when she poured the oil, she didn't say, "Here's some for today, and I'll give you a little more tomorrow." She emptied it. All of it. When we come and have the opportunity to worship, whether it's individually, wherever we are, because we know that it doesn't matter where, not in the, it doesn't have to be in the temple, doesn't have to be in the mountain. It can be in your car, in your classroom, at work, in the shower. It doesn't matter. It's a heart condition. I choose to worship now, here, by myself or corporately. It's a choice. It's a decision. It's like love, right? Everyone says, oh, I fell in love. Well, if I fell in love, that means I can fall out. That's wrong. Love is a choice. It's a decision. I choose love no matter what. Circumstances, situations are not going to change that. That's a determination I'm going to make every day. Good times, bad times, good weather, bad weather. I'm choosing to express love through worship. It's a choice. It's a decision. Here's the one I couldn't find. Psalms 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. His ways, his whys. It was deeper, more intimate than the acts. It's the heart behind the acts, his character, right? Well, what was the difference? He was willing to go up. He asked, I want more. I want to see your face. I'm willing to take the chance of this destroying me. He wanted, he desired more intimate relationship. And he learned his ways. The character behind the acts. Deeper intimacy. His acts are what he does. Unfortunately, Israel didn't always even handle the acts well. Instead of all of the praise, thanking, grateful hearts, there was a fair amount of murmuring going on to the point where Moses had to intercede and say, oh, Lord, forgive him. I'll stand in the part. Lord said, I've heard enough. The same people that were walking on dry land in the middle of the ocean, couple weeks later, like, no, those giants are too big. I don't want to deal with that. The same. First-hand witness. No, I'm good. Murmuring. Murmuring is worshiping someone. It's not God. But his ways are still good, and we are to be thankful. Give thanks, we accept him with a grateful heart, testify of his goodness because of the ways. That's what our acts, that's what the testimonies are, right? I'm here today because of his acts, and his acts are good. So we testify those. We share them with joyful hearts, and that's good. But if we want more intimacy, now we worship him for who he is, not for what he's done for me. For who he is alone. Knowing his acts, we should be giving thanks, thankfulness, gratefulness, praise, testimonies of what he has done, giving him glory. Knowing his ways is another level of intimacy, worshiping him for who he is. A reminder of John 4, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, that he's seeking worshipers. And this is what the mind-blowing thing is for me when he connected this for me. He desires worshiper. His desire for worshipers is just one more example of his love for us to bring redemption to us. He loves us so much, he gives us the opportunity to love him and show worship. I just have purple here. What's purple mean? 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Not my preconceived idea. Not what the spirit of religion wants us to believe he is. See him as he is. Not in the box I put him in so I'm comfortable because that fits my understanding. We will see him as he truly is. And we'll be like him. Why will we be like him? Because we're worshiping him. All right, now turn to green. Psalms 115, verse 8. So this psalm, David's like, I've got enemies and I need help. Right? He's listing all the different stuff going on. And well, we'll read them. So go back to verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but your name be given glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold. They, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses, but they have no, but they do not smell. They have hands, but do not handle. Feet, but they do not walk. Nor do they matter. Mutter through their throat. Verse 8. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone that trusts in them. Now that's kind of a negative verse. It's a good warning against if you have idols. And that's, if that's what you choose to worship, things made by man, that's what you're going to become. So one thing we know, anytime the Lord says, there's a blessing if you obey, and there's a curse if you disobey. That's the disobey part. The blessing, the truth is the same truth. We become what we worship. And he's giving us the opportunity to worship him. We become what we behold. Second Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. You know, that's referencing what we talked about Moses seeing his goodness. he had to wear a veil. The glory shone on his face so much. And now, with unveiled faces, we're to reveal his glory to all those others. We are always changed by being in his presence. And it's from glory to glory. It's not a one and done thing. We worship, we praise him, we worship intimate relationship today. Well, don't wait for next week. Right? It doesn't have to be in this house, right? We learned that from the woman at the well. Doesn't, not there, not there, there's a day. Today's the day. Wherever you are, individual worship. Two or more gathered, corporate, and he's in our presence. It's a promise. And it's a promise because of his love. He's seeking the worshiper. He's seeking you. He's seeking your heart. And he loved us enough to allow us to worship him back so that we may be like him. That we come back to our original callings, being made in his image and likeness. That we would be living statues, glorifying, reflecting his glory to a world that doesn't know him. Who's your king? That's the image of my king. I want to follow that image. What did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. He loves us so much that he gave us the opportunity and the ability to worship, intimate worship of him. And even in that exchange, we win. Every exchange with him, we win. No matter what he's asking of us. You know, there's the obvious mourning for gladness, right? Ashes for oil. Worship, we still win. We're allowed to worship, come into his presence, and be changed, being transformed, continue our sanctification each time we come into more intimate contact with him through worship.